website, hendrickhouse.com.
Meteorologist Ed Kieser says we'll dry out at least the first 4 days of this week. Are going to be dry. Some clouds today, then sun tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. There's still a flood warning in effect for some counties. In our severe weather coverage areas, runoff continues to be a problem. Ed will have details in 5 minutes after AM 580 News. Here's Jeff Bossert.
Thanks, Jay. Good morning. With streets, homes, and expressways underwater across the area, Cook County Board President Todd Stroger has declared a countywide state of emergency. County officials also said they'll ask Governor Rob Blagojevich to issue a disaster declaration for both the city of Chicago and Cook County, a move that would make additional funds available to deal with flood-related costs. In a statement released yesterday, the governor said he directed staff from the state's Emergency Operations Center to monitor flooding and facilitate resource requests from officials in flooded communities. Maggie Carson, a spokeswoman for Illinois' Emergency Management Agency, says requests for assistance were relatively few, with several communities asking for sandbags and barricades to block flooded roads. Meanwhile, Indiana authorities say weekend rain, wind, and flooding are responsible for 6 deaths in the state. 2 of them occurred in Chesterton, where a 74-year-old man and his 48-year-old son drowned as they were trying to save a boy from a flooded ditch in Chesterton. The boy made it out safely. 2 people were killed by falling trees in southern Indiana, and 2 others died in central Indiana. Just 2 weeks ago, it was drought that was causing many Illinois farmers some sleepless nights, and now it's the weekend's record rainfall and ensuing flooding that are giving grief to corn and soybean producers in the northern and central parts of the state. Farmer Jared Finnegan of Ashcombe said the rainfall was too much and too late to bolster yields of soybeans and corn and could have caused crop damage. Flooding may mean it could be 2 weeks until he's able to get into his fields. He says he thinks his soybeans will be ready before he can get into his fields. University of Illinois agricultural economist Stu Ellis said the heavy rains could provide the right environment for fungus to sprout and spread in soybean fields. A vote by the Urbana City Council tonight could decide the fate of a nearly 120-year-old house in what was once one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in town. The house at 508 West Elm has been divided into apartments and covered with aluminum siding. But the Urbana Historic Preservation Commission is recommending it be given historic landmark status, which would restrict any efforts to alter the building or tear it down. Commission Chair Alice Novak compares the house with a relatively new apartment building next door. She calls the apartment building an eyesore and says Urbana needs to preserve its older homes.
They're absolutely irreplaceable buildings. We cannot replace them in the historic value, in the quality of materials that are there. And we need to think really, really carefully as we all take our recycling out to the curb, how absolutely willingly we are to squash one of these buildings for the sake of redevelopment.
But the owner of 508 West Elm opposes landmark status for the house and intends to sell it to JSM Development, which has applied for a demolition permit so it can build new apartments at the site. Urbana City staff members oppose landmark status as well. Planning manager Robert Myers says the aluminum siding mars the architectural integrity of the building. And he says none of its owners were historically significant, including its first owner, businessman and postmaster Frank Bills. The Urbana City Council will make the final decision on landmark status for the house. Because of the owner's opposition, a 2/3 majority is needed for approval. Governor Rob Blagojevich has used his veto power to drastically change pieces of legislation sent to him by the General Assembly. The governor calls it his Rewrite to Do Right campaign. Amanda Vinicky reports on how it's going.
By rewriting the proposals, Blagojevich essentially challenged legislators to a public relations battle. Lawmakers may look bad if they refuse to accept his changes, but accepting them would, in some cases, cost a lot of money or lead to potential court battles. On several matters, the House called the governor's bluff and voted with him. It approved major expansions of health insurance policies, for instance. House members disagreed with other changes. Here's Skokie Representative Lou Lang, mocking one of Blagojevich's attempts.
The governor has required all libraries in the state of Illinois to stay open until 9 o'clock, including school libraries. I think that's kind of ludicrous. I don't know who's going to be at a school library until 9 o'clock. I move to override.
The House has dealt with all of the veto measures before it. Now they head to the Senate, which is led by Blagojevich ally Senate President Emil Jones. Jones says the Senate will deal with it all when the Senate reconvenes in November. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Our next report of AM 580 News is at 7:30 with headlines at 7:06. I'm Jeff Bossert.
This morning's weather forecast is made possible with support from your locally owned Central Illinois IGA supermarkets, including your IGA stores in St. Joseph and Tuscola, hometown proud and encouraging you to join them in supporting public radio.
It's 6:35, and our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, joins us for another in-depth look at weather. Well, we had a lot of rain yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Saturday night. And some areas are still suffering from it. Still the flood warning in effect. I guess a lot of saturation and runoff to deal with. Many people had wet basements or have them. And I know yesterday when I ventured out just before noon here, a lot of the underpasses trying to get in and out of downtown Champaign were just totally flooded out. In fact, I watched a car drive right into one on Springfield, and I couldn't believe
they were doing that. Really?
I mean, I watched this little white car with a couple of, I would guess, college-age student people in it, and they drove right into the – I mean, the water was level with the street. It went right within a few feet of the top of the underpass.
So what happened to their car?
They just drove right into it. They got stranded. They opened the doors. Of course, all the water rushes in, and they waded out and left the car there.
So the car is ruined.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I just sat in dis-